cook. So today we're going to talk about something a bit more serious. Normally we're all about the fun, the banter and the crack on here, but we're going to talk about
fun, banter and crack.
Fun or fun?
Fun.
We're going to talk about, particularly amongst meals, and how to deal with looking after your own mental health. We'll introduce our guest in a minute here, but reason we're doing this is suicide rates within Northern Ireland are higher. I think it's almost double that of the rest of the UK. Prescribed drugs is a lot higher. I know our guest has some statistics on them, I'll let him rattle them off, but I was looking online and the figures that are published, trying to get the likes of up-to-date suicide figures is quite hard unless you're working within government buildings, but I pulled up a report and it's from 1970, must be when they first started recording it, to 2018. So obviously 2019 they would have took the numbers and then put the analytics in, but with the way this year's going, it hasn't been done. But in 1970, the total deaths from suicide that were recorded was 73, 43 in males and 30 in female. So there's a slow increase up to 91, and then from 91 to 95, it's up, down, up, down, and then it just gradually starts to creep up from 95 up until 2005, and then there's a massive spike, and then from there it continues to go up and up and up and up and again up until 2000. And just to give you there the number, so 2004 in total there was 146 suicides, 105 in men and 41 in female, and then in 2005 there's 213, 167 in men. It's nearly a 50% increase, and 46 in women. Up to 2018, and this is just Northern Ireland, 307, 228 male, 79 female. That is a massive issue within Northern Ireland. And I know there's a lot of sort of stigma, you'll see a lot of people talking about it, stigma amongst men being able to talk about their feelings and going to counselling, because a lot of people will see it as like weak, or you're admitting defeat, or you're not a strong person, or a lot of the people that they look to, oh, we're always like that, you know, they're always like the strong silent type and the dealt with stuff. Big difference that just from looking at these numbers, and I know our guest is going to go into it here, but you're actually seeing from we've had peace within Northern Ireland, there is a lot more death from suicide. So is that millennials who are finding it hard to cope? Is that from post-traumatic stress from the war that this country endured, or is it a byproduct of both? You know, is it the families of the parents taking it on their children, and then their children not knowing how to cope, taking their lives? Obviously drugs play a large part in this as well, but we'll get into that. And there is some great places out there where you can get help, like the Samaritans, you've got Lifeline. We'll get a list of stuff and put it on the page when we release this podcast, but there's so many places that you can talk to. And the thing is, it is okay to talk, and no matter whether you're male, female, whatever, it's a massive burden to try and keep anything to yourself. You know, there was a great thing, I think I have a screenshot here, the difference between suicidal people and people who have committed suicide. So this, someone who has committed suicide it's considered to be a tragedy. Someone who's suicidal, considered to be attention seeking. Someone who has died from suicide, everyone feels bad. Someone who's suicidal, everyone feels irritated by them. Someone who's died from suicide, everyone is present and there. Someone who's suicidal, everyone tries to avoid them. Someone who's died from suicide, everyone wishes they saw the signs. Someone suicidal, everyone dismisses them. Someone who's died from suicide, everyone wishes they hadn't done it. Someone who's suicidal, no one believes they'll ever do it. And then at the bottom there's a note, if someone is suicidal, please take them serious, it could save their life. And I seen that, that was posted, it must have been World Suicide Prevention Day or the day after, I think it's the 10th of September. But I seen that one and there couldn't be anything truer. So if you are having those thoughts or those feelings and you aren't getting the help and support from people around you, I would advise going and speaking to one of the helplines. I know we have talked on the podcast here about when you go to the doctor, they sort of just want to write you a script.
It's definitely more prevalent over here. But in a year where we started out with, you know, Carolyn Flack and the famous quote of, if you can be anything, be kind. And now in a world with COVID where a lot of people are feeling alone, and I think the big message is it's okay not to be okay and stuff, that's been really prevalent this year. And you said before that through the troubles and stuff, it was probably always there, but always hidden. It's always like,
yeah,
nobody talked about it. And now it's a time where people can talk about it. You can talk about these things, and you know, mates shouldn't be afraid to just turn around and ask their friend how they are or make sure somebody's okay. So
yeah. See, on this, the one thing that really stood out against me is the suicide versus suicidal. Everyone wishes they saw the same, but everyone dismisses them. I think that is a large part. You know, if somebody was to say to you, you know, I feel like this, and if they're constantly doing it, a lot of people are very quick to turn around and go, they're really irritating, why are they always like that? And until you're in that position, I think it's very hard to be empathetic towards them, but at the same time, you need, it's like the book we read, you know, seek first to understand, then be understood. You need to find out why that person's feeling like that. And
yeah, I think it's just about having better conversations with people and understand that everybody's different, and there might be something deeper that they might want to get off their chest, and you just talking to them for 5 minutes could be the key to unlock that, you know.
I think as well, admitting it actually takes a stronger person to admit when they need help. It's not a defeat, it's actually a sign that you're stronger, because you're able to identify the issue and work from there, rather than thinking, I can't do this, I'm no good as a human being, and then taking your life. So to be able to admit it actually makes you a stronger person, I think.
Well, this is a podcast about opinions, so if that's your opinion, you're entitled to it, my friend. And with that being said, we've got a guest here who's been waiting in the wings, who's busting to say something.
He's been waiting here for a week.
Socially distant, of course.
But welcome to the show, a good personal friend of both of ours. I mean, you may have known this guy for about 5 years.
Jesus, since he was with his original manufacturer.
This is our friend Dave.
How's it going? He's alright. Good to see you, Anthony. Good to see you, Jared.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. Cheers.
Good
no,
to see you.
Thank you for having us. I think it's long overdue. If it wasn't going to be about manufacturing and what we do on a day-to-day basis, I'm sort of glad to come on and actually talk about something that's, you know.
We're all moving on from that word normally.
100%, yeah.
Listen, the only manufacturer that was ever worth anything was Sony, and we've discussed this on the podcast.
Yeah. Behave yourself.
But the reason we have Dave on here is, as I said, Dave's a good friend of ours, and we've known him a while, and he posted up a photo. We were, because it's National Suicide Awareness Month, I'd seen he had posted up a photo of a journal, and we sort of got talking to him a wee bit, and we're like, do you know what, we'll go on the podcast and discuss this. So what give us a wee bit of background of you and why you're hard we got to hear today, and then we'll go into the journal and things like that.
100%. I think 2020 for a majority of us has been a year of roller coasters. For me, that's no exception. Probably this year's positive from it is I'm actually starting to learn a hell of a lot more about myself as an individual, as a person, and more importantly, what direction I actually want to take my life in terms of what difference I want to make on a day-to-day basis. So obviously last year, Anthony, I'm sure as you know, obviously lost my mum. Some people have been in the same position. I've never really dealt with it until the last couple of months. As you know, macho, males try to put on this front that everything's okay. It was only then until I actually started to seek counselling, where actually I realised, you know what, you know, maybe there is something underlining. But yeah, that led me on to today to talk to you guys to hopefully help break down barriers and stigmas that surround male mental health, in particular within Northern Ireland. Obviously on a local level, as you know, I play local grassroots football, and it's definitely a community that's been affected recently with a young lads taking their lives for some reason. So I think today is really A, to drive awareness that, you know what, it is okay as a male to talk about how we're feeling. And B, you know, using this podcast and other podcasts and counselling services out there to promote my own story. So take back the original point, why am I here? Well, it's to talk about my personal journey in the hope to help other males talk about how they're feeling. So my journey goes back to whenever I was 12. So whenever I was 12, I had quite a hard time in school, was bullied, and I tried to take my own life. Now, fortunately, I'm here, and I'm 32. That was 20 years ago. If the maths is correct, is indeed, and I'm still here. But this is really the first time, 20 years later, talking about that occasion. And it's something that my counsellor, I don't want to call her a counsellor, more of a friend, because whenever I do talk to her, it is like talking to one of my friends. It's Gerd Karn, who owns a company called Therapy 101, and she specialises in what's known as NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So the benefits of that is it's very quick and easy to get the, you know, the underlying issues that I've been having. But basically she's a mental health therapist who specialises in NLP. It's a fast and effective way to conquer issues like PTSD, anxiety, grief, sadness, anger, phobias, and a lot more. For myself, it generally, you know, started off with the grief and obviously, you know, trying to take my own life at the age of 12. So I've come on leaps and bounds near, you know, 2-3 months using her services, and it's been absolutely fantastic. What that also led on to was self-discovery. You know, I actually started to think about myself in terms of where I am and who I am. And that led on to purchasing what's known as a mind journal. So you know what, it's something I've never done before. It's something that I highly encourage the people to do, because scientific experiments, or not really experiments, but science does prove, you know, the mental benefits of keeping a journal. But the one I use is specifically tailored for males. It's a company called Mind Journal. They started out in 2016. And basically the journals are to allow you to achieve your goals, live your dreams, and conquer your fears with a groundbreaking journal that has transformed many a thousand of males' lives. So basically it gives you like 30 different life-changing exercises, 3 stages of self-discovery, but also allows you to explore, you know, journaling. And obviously you do reap the benefits of writing stuff down. You definitely feel a hell of a lot lighter. And, you know, it's a good way to be able to write down how you're feeling. And sometimes it's not until you actually write something down that actually hits home in terms of how you actually are feeling. So yeah, so then the next step, you know what, why stop there? So I said, you know, let's reach out to, you know, a couple of friends like yourselves who have a much wider audience to hopefully start breaking down these stigmas and barriers that surround male mental health. So as Anthony's already alluded to, I've started up my Instagram. I've turned it more to like an influencer's Instagram rather than a personal one. To be able to share my journey as I move forward through my passion of photography as well as my actual journal inputs. And as you've probably read on them, you know, they are very sensitive in terms of I literally tell you everything that I'm feeling on that particular day, just to really break down those barriers in the hope that someday it's the norm, you know, talking about how we feel as males. As Anthony talked about the start of the podcast in regards to some of the statistics, especially within Northern Ireland, is absolutely astonishing in terms of, you know, how high suicide actually is within our local communities and our own wee country here. Northern Ireland, as most of you know, it's a post-conflict society, and there are many challenges regarding mental health. People here experience 20 to 25% higher levels of mental health illness when compared to the rest of the UK. That is absolutely astonishing considering the size of the population between us and the rest of the UK. Also, as Anthony's alluded to, we've also got a higher antidepressant prescription rate. We've also got higher incidence of self-harm. And again, the significantly higher levels of depression than the rest of the UK. Around 1 in 5 adults are reported to have a diagnosable mental health condition at any given time in Northern Ireland, which is absolutely, that's a scary statistic when you think about it. And I think we are all guilty of, you know, maybe batting an eyelid at it and not taking it too serious. But whenever it's something that I'm sure a lot of listeners out there have been affected personally with, you know, either grief, sadness, or one of their friends or colleagues taking their life. And it started to get me thinking, like, I look back at people who have maybe influenced me or have I been in contact with. Like my sister, one of her friends, young lad, took himself, you know, at a very early age. One of my work colleagues, same scenario, was an older gentleman, took his own life. But obviously being in that position, in that situation, and thankfully not following through, you know, there is definitely a lot of stigma and barriers there, but do need to start to break down. I think having these types of conversations is definitely a great point, or a great starting point, and to be able to do that. So again, you know, the overall goal is just, you know, let's break down these stigmas and barriers together. And it could be something as simple as a conversation, and that's essentially where it starts. And anybody listening out there that maybe finds that hard, because the first step is always the hardest, there's, as Anthony and Jared have already alluded to, there are plenty of services out there. I'll drop a few names anyway, I'm sure the guys won't mind. So on a local level, you'll probably heard of a podcast known as BIMO, but you'll also hear a podcast called Mind Your Bop. And then there's also different services in around the local Lisburn area, the likes of Emerge, which is a charity organisation to help with mental illness. And then obviously you can reach out to myself as well. I'm no expert, but I can certainly point you in the right direction to seek that help.
What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Straightforward. So Instagram, my Instagram's open. It is DavidBrady88, or, you know, add me on Facebook. It's just David Brady, and it'll be a picture of me holding a book over my face. And it's my journal, which is the Mind Journal. But feel free to reach out. As I say, I won't have all the answers in terms of, you know, being able to help people how you're feeling, but I can certainly push you in the right direction to seek that help. And the great thing of what I've learned in such a short period of time of starting this is I've had guys already reached out, guys who've already bought journals, but also people who have actually reached out, you know what, I need help, who to contact, and it's great to be able to push them in certain directions. And, you know, Therapy 101 is the one I would use. There is other services out there, but definitely, yeah, reach out to Karen as well, and you'll find her on Instagram and Facebook, just under Therapy 101.
So when you were starting out, what was the trigger for you to realise, you know, I need to go? Like, for me, whenever my mum passed, obviously everybody's grief is different. You cannot measure grief in any way, and it comes in all different forms. With me, it was, I was fine, except whenever I come home, I went off the handle at Sinead. And I'm like yourself, I'm a bubbly, outgoing person. Anger is not an emotion that I know or use very often. But I was like flying off the handle. I'd heard the way a cup was put in a dishwasher. And then that was for me, I was like, right, I need help here. I need to sort this because it's going to affect my personal life. What was it for you?
You're not far, a penny doesn't drop too far from me. So recently, you know, I've had a breakdown of marriage as well, which I think probably has been a lot of underlying issues, not being able to deal with the grief initially, but also not dealing with what happened 20 years ago. So that for me was definitely, you know, a kick up the arse in terms of, you know, who are you, what do you want to be, and what difference you want to make. So for me, that was it, because I had in my head, you know, that's me, married, bought a house, got a dog, you know, that's me set up. And then, you know, the next week you're back living with your dad, and you're starting to really look at yourself and discover who you are. So for me, it would have been the exact same. Probably I would have been very agitated quite easily. Not so much in work, it was a good distraction, but definitely getting back into the house, you know, it was very easy agitated. And you know what, like, as you mentioned before, in terms of, you know, people dealing with mental health, my go-to was, you know, going to a drink. Now, I'm not an alcoholic, but for me, it was going to a bar full of men and just being able to have conversations. That was a great way of me being able to vent. Under no imagination, I might have depended on drink, but for me, that was how I would socialise and how I would deal with that issue, which I know, A, can be okay to do, but I wasn't dealing with it right. So obviously going to see Karen, and Karen obviously recommending, you know, doing a journal, and then just discovering by chance that Mind Journal, you know, something, the penny just dropped. It's like, you know what, if I'm feeling like this, then there's other people out there also feeling like that.
How did you come across Carn? Did you Google something, or was it recommended by somebody? Or
it's quite interesting. So we all know each other from obviously the mobile industry, and that's where I met Carn actually. So met her in one of the network shops, in one of the stores that I covered from a brand. And she'd done a part time, but now she's doing a full time. And I said, you know what, I'll reach out. I asked her, you know, do you, obviously you're within that industry, do you know of anyone? And she offered her own service and says, you know what, you know, I'm comfortable talking to you, you know, because that's one of the things she was maybe a wee bit conscious of, because we've obviously known her over, you know, the last 5 years. But I was like, you know what, I could talk to anybody, I'm sure, as you already know, so I've no problem talking to you. So yeah, I reached out to Karen, and we had that first session. And you know, as soon as I came out of it, you know, that's, you know, be honest, sometimes it is quite difficult, you know, it's, you do feel exhausted after a session, but you know, you come out of it, once you reflect, you're like, you know what, you know, I've gained quite a lot from that, especially from a, you know, self perspective. I've learned a lot about myself over this short period of time.
It's very hard to admit something about yourself, isn't it, as well?
It definitely is. And again, that's, you know, where we fall back to that barrier and stigma that, you know, society's maybe put up, you know, that males, that, you know, can't cry. For most people who know me, I am sensitive as hell, especially my sisters. You know, sister's wedding, blubbered. My own wedding, blubbered. You know, and I've no problem showing my emotion. But what I would love to be, or would love to happen in society, is other males, you know, taking that on board. And you know what, it is okay to not be okay. It's okay to show emotion. You know, we can still be masculine, but still show vulnerability. And what society's often, you know, put those stigmas up. I think it's actually quite a good time to talk about it now as well. And like, if you look at diversity and, you know, equality, you know, it's so, so big nowadays, especially in Northern Ireland. You know, you have people who have equal gay rights. They can actually now get married. You know, 20, 30 years ago, they wouldn't have been, you know, heard of, you know. So it's a great time to be having these conversations, because you know what, especially the younger generation coming through, they are definitely a lot more open and, you know, accepted, you know, acceptant to, you know, to talking about these situations and these challenges that we face as a society, where it's on, you know, a local level or a wider level.
So thinking back to 20 years ago, yeah,
yep.
If you could speak to yourself now, but then.
Yeah, it is interesting, and that's something that you learn. Like, obviously, we've mentioned Karen several times, but, you know, NLP, we've done a thing that was known as timeline therapy, and that essentially puts you back into that space. And it's something that I always felt uncomfortable with, especially, you know, the reason that it came up was obviously when mum passed away and the breakdown of my marriage. You know, back in my mind, I was like, you know, I tried to take my life 20 years ago for something as, you know, simple as bullying. You know, how am I going to cope with these sort of situations? So that's what's always been there, and that's why that's sort of triggered. But you know what, I've changed, I've adapted, you know, I've grown as a person. You know, I understand myself, I understand just how strong we actually are as males and as beings. I've got lost in thought there, Jay, actually.
Oh, I was just saying, if you could have that conversation.
Oh, conversation with yourself, yeah. And like, it's hard now, and even to put myself into a young lad's shoes nowadays with social media and with, you know, other stresses, you know, they're put on our young generation. I felt quite fortunate, because back then, you know, you'd MSN, if you remember that.
Yeah.
It's like, mum, dad, you're not allowed to use the phone for an hour. I'm jumping on the MSN here. You know, we've all been there creating those MSN names.
The phone calls?
You know what I mean? MySpace and all, and the dial-up, you know, you probably remember that there, ding along. So for me, and again, good thing is learning to be able to talk to yourself. So if I could say to myself, it was, you know what, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel vulnerable. It is okay to feel the way you are feeling at this moment of time. But the first step to do is to talk to someone, because you know what, there's so many people out there that A, have maybe been through the same, you know, process, or maybe they're going through it themselves. So definitely I would say open up, talk to someone, you know, whether it be, you know, a peer, you know, tutor, teacher, you know, colleague, you know, or even a friend. Just open up or pick up the phone. You know, if you don't like talking face to face, there's plenty of helplines, you know, out there. And as Jordan Anthony said, you know, that'll be on your web pages,
yes,
anyway,
we'll
to share.
I'm sure you can share it as well.
You know, but for me, yeah, it's for me, it was just to understand that it was okay to be vulnerable at that time. And
is that one of the benefits that you got from counselling itself?
100% is just realising that, you know, and one of the things Karen always says is, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, at the end of the day,
it's very hard not to be hard on yourself.
It definitely is, but learn to forgive. And what she means, and what we mean about that, is not only forgive others, but forgive yourself. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, we're all learning. You know, there's no set pattern in life. Life is full of roller coasters, ups and downs, and it is what you make it in a sense too. Again, this is all all well in saying this, you know what I mean? 2020
is the biggest example of a roller coaster.
You know what I mean? But the thing is, we're now into September, we're all still here. You know, there's obviously still issues there, but you know what? We're here and the support is in place, so I think we are doing okay in that sense, but yeah.
So what other benefits do you feel that you've got from the council in Texas?
Yeah, well, we're here. You know, I feel now it's a good time to be able to open up to other people in the event that hopefully they'll also open up. You know, I've learned a lot about myself in terms of the breakdown of my marriage. You know, there's a lot of blame on me, but I felt like I was taking all the blame, and obviously there's two parties, there's two 100%, like, because, and this probably ties in with my job. So I've been in sales from when I was 16. You know, as a salesperson, one of the biggest assets you will get as a tool as a person is empathy. You know, and because of that empathy, you sometimes take a lot of blame on yourself, you know, or you picture yourself in other people's shoes, so you're definitely a lot more conscious, you know, of the outcome of feelings and things like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, I mean,
you know,
it's probably definitely the most in-depth conversation that I've ever been part of with you anyway, so
yeah.
It's good to see, you know, I've always seen the happy day of it,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that thing, so it's good to see
the
human side, the empathetic side of it as well.
Definitely, you know? Is, and the thing is, like, it's okay, you know, to be happy, you know, regardless
most
of what you're going through.
Most of the time I've had interaction with you, it's been banter,
bad jokes normally,
bad,
yeah.
Jokes or talking,
yeah.
Stories about something.
But as Anthony, you know, said at the start, it is normally those people who are, you know, put on a face. But that's not to say everyone's the same. You know, we're not painting everyone with the same paintbrush here, but definitely those, because again, they maybe do have a lot more empathy that, you know what, I'm going to try to cheer someone else up. And you know what, I get a lot of positivity from that.
Yeah.
If I can make someone laugh or, you know, make someone smile, you know, that fills me, you know, it really does.
100%. But do you know where a big problem comes from? And I learned this about myself way before I'd done any of that. See, because you're such a strong personality,
mm-hmm.
right? People think that you're okay.
Yeah.
People never ask the strong person, how are you? Because they automatically expect you to be fine, because you, although you may be able to help somebody, you can't really do it to yourself. This is what I was saying. It's very hard to admit stuff about yourself.
Yeah.
How important do you think it is to be selfish and not selfless?
Oh, 100%. Like, being selfish for yourself is paramount. Like, one of the things you learn about doing your journey, and even when you start looking at mental health, one of the sort of reoccurring things is, you know, take time, make time for yourself. You know what, we don't look after ourselves. Well, I don't look after myself as much as what I would look after, say, you know, a parent or a friend. You know, I'm always looking out for them first to make sure, you know what, I want to make sure they're okay. But you know what, it's okay to be selfish in the terms of look out for you. You are number one. And that's one of the things that, you know, Karen taught me as well. You know, regardless of what happens in life, you're in control of you, you know, and you can only make the best version of you if you put the time into making the best version of you. So yeah, definitely, like, as you say, selfless and selfishness is just completely different concepts when you're talking about yourself.
Breaking
to bad, dude. I know, breaking the mic. So one of the things to do that is, you know, to learn about myself is, you know, I will continue, you know, to talk to Karen, not because, like, I feel at this moment in time I'm probably the most conscious I've ever been about myself, which is great. I also feel I am okay to talk about this. And one of the things you'll find, and what I was worried about, and this is another thing, is, you know, don't worry about what other people think, because everyone will have an opinion. You know, and that's just the nature of it, regardless if that's the first interaction or, you know, someone that's known you over a long time. But there's always two sides to the story. It's easy looking in, you know, from the outside, but always look after yourself and never worry about what other people think, because that can change your mind, and it changed my mind in a sense.
And glass houses are terrible.
They definitely are, what's the thing. But one of the things as well, in terms of what I'm learning, is gratitude. You know, and it's something that I take for granted. It's only really recently, until I started going to council, and that it was like, you know what, when you wake up every morning, or when you're brushing your teeth or getting showered, just three things said out loud what you're grateful for. Now, this doesn't have to be, you know, saving grace, everything you want. It's often as simple, you know what, I'm grateful for being able to put on clean clothes today. I'm grateful for being able to brush my teeth. I'm grateful for actually having hot running water. You know, those are three simple things that, you know what, you actually don't think of, or sometimes can be, you know, taken for granted,
yeah,
essentially, you know. And it can be anything as simple, you know, I'm glad I don't have a homeless sock. You know what I mean? Like socks, I've got socks on my feet. You know what I mean? I've got a bed to sleep on at night. You know, I've got a roof over my head, you know, and it can be anything. Everyone's obviously grateful for different things, but those are just a few examples that I've been using over the last week or so. So definitely about practice gratitude.
And attitude for gratitude.
Attitude for gratitude, you know, definitely.
And in regards to your counselling sessions and stuff, did you find yourself needing a lot more at the start and a lot less now, or have you kept it
In a sense, yeah. It's always strange going to it, because like in your mind you feel you're at one place, and it was like, Karen, like, where do you think I'm at? Like, you know, he's like, you know what, I'm not worried. There's different things they'll do just to see where you are from a, you know, not a depression perspective, but like just to see where you sit. There's like different scales to use in terms of where you feel that you would sit. And mine's quite low, which means, you know, so there's no worries, nothing to worry about. So the session would have been once a week, you know, and we're now maybe, you know, I haven't had one in, you know, 3-4 weeks, but we'll probably do it once a month, because it's something that I want to continue to do, because I don't think it's something I'm not never going to do again.
Yeah.
Because I have found it so rewarding, from a, you know, self-discovery perspective, but also to understand my behaviours, which in turn helps me understand who David Brady is, who I actually am, you know.
If you're drawing something from it, if you can feel a bit of reward for doing it,
yeah, yeah,
about 100%,
yeah, yeah,
you have to keep at it, whether it's once a month or...
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, like, and Karen was saying, I think 50%, I'm sure she won't mind me sharing, 50% of her clients are males, but they're not as open, you know, and it's trying to get to that stage. And Anthony said a good point at the start there, in terms of, obviously 1970 was whenever the record started for, you know, recording suicide. 63% of males are 3 times more likely to die from suicide, and that's you know, which is a scary statistic. And even more so because today, you know, I want to reach out to younger generation too, because I know there is a few young voices out there, especially from a local grassroots football perspective, that have been struggling and haven't reached out. That, you know, you can reach out, it is okay to talk. But there was a survey, I think it was done by the Prince's Trust Research, a survey of almost 2,200 teenagers or adults aged between 16 and 25. 44% of those young people in Northern Ireland say that they have experienced a mental health problem. 68% revealed that they always or often felt stressed. 60% said they always or often felt anxious. And 33%, which is scary, reported that they are always or often feel hopeless, which is absolutely scary. And again, you know, I'll, you know, put my branch out there, if anybody ever feels hopeless, get in touch and I can certainly, you know, point you in the right direction. But it's, you know, it's like, again, you know, I was, what, 12 whenever I tried to take my life, and those are people similar ages, like 16, like, you know yourself, lads, at 16, you're only really starting to, you know,
you don't even know what
that
is.
You don't, that's a hang.
I remember thinking at 24, whenever Aidan was coming along, I was like, fuck, I don't have shit in order. I thought I knew everything, I knew nothing.
Yeah.
There he is, 8 years
later,
32. But see, that's the hang, like, we're all 32, you're 33, like, geez, a year older.
I've had more life experience than I think.
And that's the thing, like, I'm no more closer, you know, to knowing, you know, what is it I want to achieve? You know, what is life, what I want to achieve in life. But you know what? I think, you know, making these small differences, or hoping to make a small difference in someone else's life, is definitely something that I'm going to, you know, feel positive. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. And I think, you know, even if you are listening, you are a young listener, or even if you're an adult and you're listening, you know what, it's okay to not know what you're doing with your life, you know what I mean? Because opportunities come and go, and it's just a great thing that I've learned is, you know, live in the moment. And I know it's so cliche, and it's something that anybody said to me, it's like, oh yeah, dead on, but living in the moment, guess what? Those are the happiest people that you'll ever meet, are people who are actually living in the moment. So, you know, taking time and sitting here, and, you know, I'm fantasizing with Jared, you know, I'm doing this podcast, I'm, you know, enjoying what we're doing. You know, that's what it's all about. Okay, I often fall in the trap, you know, worrying about the past, worrying about the future, you know, but that's adding stresses and things. You know, the future's, it's not guaranteed, we don't know what lies ahead. So, you know what, that's why we live in the moment, that's enjoy what we currently have now. And that's definitely something that I'm looking to develop and continue to do. And through the NLP, that's what's helped me to do and live in the moment and enjoy that.
The only thing that we can do with the past is, for anybody listening, there's two things, there's nothing else, two things. We can study it, and we can learn from it. There is not one other thing that we can do with the past. So there's, you know, there's the point that you're saying, there's no point in looking backwards, because when was the Irish election? Was it the start of this year? I think it was the start of this year.
Sinn Féin, end of last year.
I was going through Instagram, and there was a thing where Mary Lou McDonald, the head of Sinn Féin, see when Mary Lou speaks, I don't know what it is, there's something about her, she just captivates me, but she says the two other parties, if you keep looking at the past, it tells me that you're not up for the future. And I, as soon as he said that, I screen recorded it and put it on my Instagram, and I went, that is such up. It's up there with like the Bobby Sands, the laughter of our children, or what is it? Our victory will be the laughter of our children.
Yeah.
That there. And whenever she's done, and it's not getting political, but
yeah, yeah.
When she says, if you keep looking at the past, that tells me you're not up for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you want to learn from the past, what's the point of looking back at it? And another point you were saying there about living in the moment, you can live in the moment, but you also need to be present. I think
yep.
that's a very
yeah,
important
yeah.
thing,
yep.
and it's such a subtle difference, because
yep.
we can be living in the moment, and we
it's
could...
It's we're from that moment industry that devours the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who sits at a concert with their phone up like that and
yeah.
videos it
yeah.
doesn't experience the concert.
That's
you know?
Exact. That's a great point. I was trying to think of an analogy. You go to a concert, you spend, what, 50 quid a ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're recording something, and you're not going to watch it.
No.
You put it up on your social media, and you'll never look at it again. Whereas, if you're standing there, like, I can remember being at the Robbie Williams concert, over in Manchester, screaming my heart out. And three girls in front of me turned around and went, you're a big Robbie fan. Fucking obviously, I'm a Robbie fan, I'm screaming. Why the fuck would you come to a stadium?
50 quid a ticket, or would you pay for it?
I got it as a Christmas present.
Alright, Santa.
But, it's like, of course I'm going to stand and scream the songs of somebody that I love, you know.
Yeah.
Live in the moment, but be present in the moment.
Being able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not being able to enjoy
yeah.
it is
yeah.
worse, isn't it? It's like,
yeah. That's not to say, don't get your wee photograph.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you can do all that and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But have that as a small fraction, because you want that photo. The reason we take photos is to elicit a memory or, you know.
Yep.
And you want to look at that photo and go, this is why I like that so much, because it boom, boom,
yep.
boom, boom, boom. Because I remember that girl. Then
yeah,
girls
yeah.
turned around me, give me a dirty look, where my cousin was standing beside me, block dancing, because we arm in a cast.
So, as Andrew's talking about photos, photography has been a big thing for you as well.
It definitely is.
So,
and
I'm used to looking at your Facebook and seeing the advertising, whatever latest camera it is you're pushing, but now on your Instagram, you're using photography as a...
Yeah, yeah, so it's quite interesting. I've got a friend who's now starting to study art therapy, and just, you know, the positive impacts it can have on your life doing, you know, different types of art therapy. For me, growing up, it was always about painting and drawing. It was a great way of, you know, like an escapism, you know, being able to show the emotion. Soon realised that, you know what, I'm not that great at painting and drawing, so I turned towards digital layer, which was more using, you know, photography. Photography is a tool to sort of to drive, you know, how I'm feeling, but also just to drive awareness in terms of, you know, if we bring it fast forward to where we are now, I'm using my photography to sort of help drive that message and using the journal as a narrative, you know, towards those pictures, which is pretty good. So yeah, like photography has been absolutely amazing for me to be able to, you know, find escapism, you know, to take my mind off, you know, other things. And obviously I've moved to, you know, all mobile instead of using big clunky cameras, because, you know, as you know, mobile phones have come on massively over the years. So yeah, definitely photography has played, you know, a big part, and it's...
And it means you can be in the moment and take a snapshot anywhere of
yeah, yeah.
what you're doing.
And that's it, you know what I mean? And definitely, I'll probably, you'll see on my Instagram, it'll be doing, you know, art therapy with, you know, my friend Jen, just to show what difference that will actually have on my well-being as well, which is going to be quite interesting.